You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 5th of October 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to take a closer look at how this maladaptive behaviour that results in the weakening of our people within our own countries that our ancestors built, how this gets passed down to the students at the university. And this behavior is maladaptive, because why would you be doing something that results in weakening yourself? Why would you be doing something which results in self-harm, which is essentially what we are doing by replacing ourselves with other people groups? And this begins in the universities, and then it comes out from the universities in the teachers and the people that get involved in the media. And it's not one particular group that are responsible for this. It's a group of different peoples, but you can see why other people groups would encourage it, because it's to their benefit to weaken the competing groups. And this is where the problem arises, because we fail to see this, and we think that what we're doing is a good thing when we promote diversity and promote having a larger variety of people groups being involved in things. And we fail to see that what that actually is, it's replacing our own people group with another people group. So it's weakening ourselves. And in the universities, where the brightest people are supposed to have their ideas challenged, and you're supposed to hear a real plurality of views, nobody is pointing this out. And anybody that does point this out, of course, will get accused of being racist or white supremacist or hating the other people groups. So people don't actually hear the other arguments for this. I mean, most of us understand at some level that it doesn't look right when we see television programs, or particularly the adverts on the television, where 90% of them now no longer include a white couple, they include somebody white with somebody black. And most of us understand that there's something strange there, not quite right. But what's actually going on is we are replacing ourselves with these other people groups. And while we're doing it, we're thinking, actually, what we're doing is the greatest good. We're really helping these other peoples. We're not actually helping these other peoples by doing that. They would be far better off living amongst their own people and advancing at the rate that they were meant to advance, instead of just handing over our civilization to them, which is basically what we are doing. And as I say, you can't blame these other people groups for taking advantage of that. The people that are to blame for this is ourselves. We are the ones that are doing this to ourselves. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that is the fact of the matter. And the only way we're going to be able to do anything about this and change this is by changing ourselves. We can't change the other people groups. We can't expect them to stop competing. We cannot expect them to stop doing things which are going to weaken ourselves and strengthen their influence within our countries, because that would be self-harming for them, wouldn't it? And we don't want people to be self-harming. And essentially, it is white people that are doing the self-harming. Well, getting into this article here, matriculating students at St. Andrews University must pass courses where they accept their personal guilt in order to confront their unconscious bias before starting their programme, according to test material seen by the Times. And they don't point it out here, but of course that's only white people that have to accept their personal guilt, because as white people we supposedly have an unconscious bias against non-whites, which is holding them back from getting the top places at university and the top places in businesses. Of course, as nationalists, we understand that non-whites have a lower average IQ than us, and that predicts that they won't get the top marks in the universities, and that predicts that they won't get the best places in the businesses. So we understand that there is a biological reason for this, and we should not be feeling guilty. But to point that out, again, it means you're going to get accused of racism or hating people. There's nothing hateful about it. It's just a fact. It's just a fact of reality. It is the way the world is. It is the way that the world was created. And what's going on here is, in order to actually get into the university, you have to accept this. You have to accept this anti-white narrative that white people are responsible for all the differences in outcomes that there actually are. And the truth is that white people bend over backwards to help non-whites. I mean, just today, they have released the news that there is a wonderful new medication for people with sickle cell anemia that eliminates the pain, and it's a fantastic breakthrough in medicine, basically. Now, sickle cell anemia is pretty much limited entirely to black people. It's a disease which is associated with blacks because it's inherited, and it's just something that their race is susceptible to. All the races have diseases that their race in particular are susceptible to. Now, who is it that developed this wonderful new breakthrough in science? I doubt very much whether it was somebody black. But it's being trumpeted all over the Western world today that we have this new medicine. And of course, that has been developed by the medical industry that was developed by white people. Black Africans never really developed a medical industry over there. What we're talking about is Western medicine here, and it's been devoted to helping them. And I just bring this up as an example of how charitable and how universal white people are. We try to do what we can to help others. So pointing out that there is a biological reason for why there is a difference in outcome is not because we hate other people. It's just because we want policies to be based on reality. The university in Fife, Scotland, this year became the first to ever beat Oxford or Cambridge to the number one spot on the UK's Good University Guide, and is the alma mater of the future King Prince William and his wife Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge. So this is a very well sought after university. All the brightest people are going to want to go there. And yet, in order to get in there, if they're white, they have to accept that they are somehow at fault. They have an unconscious bias against black people, and that's the reason why there are these differences in life outcomes. So you're going in there and you have to say, well, I'm the one that is responsible for this. What a terrible person I am. Instead of going in there thinking, well, isn't this great? We've got this wonderful university that is the culmination of all the hard work that my people have been putting into advancing civilization and advancing the world. And I should be trying to do my very best. I mean, what they're saying here with this unconscious bias and this personal guilt, they're saying, well, you shouldn't really be doing your personal best. What you should be doing is handing over what you've got to this other group, because you only have what you have because you took it from this other group, which is not true. As I pointed out, we do everything we can to help these other groups. I mean, that's why we have them in our countries, is because we're trying to help them out. The Times said that the top university has mandatory modules on diversity, consent, and climate change, and claimed failure to pass them would mean the students cannot enrol. And each one of those is a left-wing talking point. Each one of those is something that the left promote. You've got this constant mantra that diversity is a strength. We're being told that men have to give written consent before they sleep with a woman, or they have to gain a written consent from the woman before they actually sleep with her, or otherwise she can claim that it is rape. And we're told that the changing in the climate is down to carbon dioxide, and carbon dioxide is going to kill us all, when carbon dioxide actually causes the plants to grow. And each one of these, there are alternative viewpoints on what is being put across. And what they're saying here is you're not allowed to have an alternative viewpoint. If you want to come into this university and you want to enroll here, you have to go along with these left-wing ideas. And if you refuse to go along with these left-wing ideas, we're not going to educate you. And the universities are supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to be neutral politically. This is why we have no difference between the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, because all the mainstream parties are left-wing. They might claim to be right-wing, but they're not. And I mean, I don't really like to break things up into right and left. I don't really think nationalism is right-wing. Nationalism is just natural. It has elements of the left-wing in it, has elements of socialism within it, and also has elements of the right-wing in it, has elements of individualism. But what we actually see here happening at the universities is really this cultural Marxism that everybody has to go along with, whether they're on the right or on the left. And that finds its expression, as I say, in the mainstream parties, where there's no actual difference between them. And all the Conservative Party actually do is conserve the left-wing policies of the previous government. In reaction, the University of St Andrews defended itself, calling the Times report inaccurate, and claiming that the programmes have been in place for 5 years, most of which were designed by students, with only one person complaining during that time. Well, that's not an excuse for it, is it? I mean, that just explains why this is so throughout society now, this anti-white narrative, and people are only now starting to notice it, but it has been going on for years. According to the Newspaper of Records report, in order to pass, students must agree to statements such as, "Acknowledging your personal guilt is a useful starting point in overcoming unconscious bias." So what they mean by personal guilt here is personal guilt for being a racist. They're saying that everybody white is a racist, and everybody white has this unconscious bias. So they are racially discriminating against white people with this. It's not aimed at black or minority ethnics, telling them that they need to acknowledge their personal guilt for anything. They're being told that they don't have to accept personal responsibility for anything, and all their problems are down to white people. It continues, "It is important to think about and understand our own prejudices and stereotypes, so we don't treat someone else unfairly or inappropriately." Well, a lot of these so-called stereotypes are truthful. You know, we tend to think that a stereotype means something that is not actually truthful and it's just an urban myth. But in actual fact, when you look at the facts and statistics, these common stereotypes are actually based on facts and statistics. They are actually based on the truth. You think of the brainy Chinaman or the brainy Jew, and they have a higher average IQ. You think of a stereotype of a black person, maybe they don't have a job, or maybe they're more crime prone, maybe they don't do well at school. And then you look at the statistics and you see, well, on average, those stereotypes are true. If you look at the statistics for white people, and we have this stereotype that according to the anti-white stereotype, white people have all this privilege, and we can get away with things that these other races can't get away with, and everything is just handed to us on a plate, and that's the stereotype that we hear. Yet when you look at the statistics, you find out that the white working classes are the ones most trailing behind in education, and they are the ones that are getting the least resources directed towards them. And considering they have the highest average IQ, they have the IQ of 100, whereas non-whites have an average IQ of 85, for the white students to be trailing behind, it says that they're really being failed here. And yet the stereotype that we have is that white people have privilege. I mean, that's the stereotype that is being promoted in this idea that white people have to acknowledge their guilt. They're saying whites have a privilege, and that's the stereotype. Yet that is a false stereotype. Yet when we look at what we're told are stereotypes about black and minority ethnics, we find that there is solid evidence for those stereotypes being truthful. Answering yes to the question, does equality mean treating everyone the same, returns as a wrong answer, however. With a student sent the message in the online assessment, that is not right. In fact, equality may mean treating people differently and in a way that is appropriate to their needs so that they have fair outcomes and equal opportunity. So most people think equality means being treated equally under the law, but they're now trying to change this. They're trying to change it from equality to what they call equity. And what they mean here is everybody having the same outcome. There not being any losers in the egg and spoon race. Everybody is a winner. And how this turns out, it means, well, what we should be doing is we should be lowering the standards of the exams so that we can get people that traditionally didn't do very well at exams into universities, because otherwise it looks like they're being discriminated against, because there can't be any other reason why a people group doesn't do very well at exams other than racism. So in order to compensate for the racism, we'll lower the standards on the exams for this particular group. Or it may mean you should be giving a job to somebody that you don't think is actually good enough for the job, but because they are non-white, then you should be giving them a chance anyway, because it may just be that racism is affecting you. Your unconscious bias is affecting you, and in actual fact, they will be very good for the job. So that's what they mean by treating people differently. And of course, that goes against your instincts, doesn't it? I mean, the right thing to do is to treat people equally and always treat people with respect, but we should be going on qualifications and we should be going on the facts of the matter. We shouldn't be making exceptions for people because of their race. Again, that means discriminating in favour of people because of their race. And if you're going to discriminate in favour of somebody because of their race, of course, it means you're discriminating against another race in doing so. You're discriminating against white people in doing so. This is why this is maladaptive, because this is a white university. I dare say the majority of the people that are involved in putting this module out and promoting this module, they will all be white. It is maladaptive behavior. They are effectively self-harming. Too many wrong answers in the module will result in failure, with the option to retake the induction module. So that, I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? You, if you fail this, they tell you, well, you have to take it again, and this time answer the questions in the way we want you to answer them. I mean, this is just total indoctrination, isn't it? They don't really care whether you actually believe in what's being said here, but that is what you have to say. You have to go along with this narrative, and that's in training for when people come out of the university. Even if you don't believe in all of this and you think that it is wrong and it is not truthful, you have to just repeat it anyway in order to go along with things. Otherwise, they would say, well, if you failed the test, that means that you failed the test. But they don't. They say, retake it and get the answers right this time. It's like the EU, isn't it? When a country has a referendum and they decide on a result that the EU doesn't want, they tell the country, well, you better have another referendum and you'd better get the answers right this time. A spokesman for the university told the newspaper of record that their students had requested the majority of these courses. In further comments to the Daily Mail, St. Andrew said, the Times report is inaccurate and misleading. These modules have been in place at St. Andrew's for several years. And I dare say that the students that requested these courses were students that support Black Lives Matter and Extinction Rebellion and all the other left-wing causes. They will be the ones that will have been requesting this. And of course, they don't have the life experience to know that what they're doing is actually wrong. They're still young. They're full of all the brainwashing that they have had at school. They haven't actually had a chance to think about what they're doing. It's the blind leading the blind. It's kids leading kids, basically, by requesting these courses. And the responsible adults, the professors and the lecturers and the people there that have been there for years, instead of pointing out that this is self-harming and that this is discriminating against white people, they just go along with it because they know that if they stand up and say, well, this is wrong, they're going to end up losing their tenure, aren't they? The spokesman went on to say that apart from the training on good academic practice, all of these modules were introduced at St. Andrews in response to clearly expressed student demand, claiming that students had pushed for the mandatory consent module, wrote the sustainability module, and were central members of the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Group, which brought in the mandatory diversity module. The modules were developed to align with St. Andrews' strategic priorities: diversity, inclusion, social responsibility, good academic practice and zero tolerance for gender-based violence, and help develop skills and awarenesses valuable to life at university and beyond. How about they develop some modules designed to encourage independent thought, to encourage the students to learn how to educate themselves, how about they challenge the students' beliefs instead of just encouraging them here? It's all about social programming, isn't it? All of this, all of these modules are about programming these students so that they respond in certain ways to certain issues in society. It's social engineering. It's not about teaching the students about what everything there is to learn and about all different points of view on the subject that they're studying. It's about social engineering. It's about pre-programming them. The university said, in our experience, students recognize the value of these courses, and we have encountered only one complainer in the past 5 years. Well, yes, they do recognize the value of these courses. If they don't repeat exactly what is said on these courses, they will get cancelled, won't they? They'll get chased out of the university for being a heretic. They'll get deplatformed. They'll be banned from social media. They'll lose their banking account. They won't be able to do business. I mean, these are all the things that happen to people that question this maladaptive narrative that we are pushing within our society. One student, speaking to the Times, however, suggested that there were so few complaints because the courses put freshers, mostly 18-year-olds, in a difficult position and that they did not want to complain or potentially alienate themselves. Of course, that's what I'm saying. They know that if they do complain, they will probably be kicked out of the university. They will be ostracised. There will be a campaign against them, calling them racist, white supremacist, neo-Nazi for speaking up against this. It seems like they, the university, are pushing an agenda, and it appears performative and contrary to academic freedom and freedom of thought, the female student, who of course wishes not to be named, told the Times. The Free Speech Union called the requirement appalling, saying that they would be writing to the principal of St. Andrews, demanding that the tests be withdrawn at once, before reaching out to students offering support and advice. And I do like the Free Speech Union, Toby Young's Free Speech Union. They are at least trying to protect this principle of free speech, which is so important within democracies, that we are allowed to question things and we're allowed to hold our leaders to account and we are allowed to criticise policies. And that's what a lot of this boils down to. They don't want certain policies, such as multiculturalism, they don't want them to be scrutinised. They don't want people to be pointing out the negative effects that multiculturalism has had. So they come up with this this ruse of hate speech to try and prevent people from talking about it and pretending that people would only talk about it because they hate other races, which is a nonsense. People talk about it because they're concerned about what they see going on in society, and because we can see further along the way that multiculturalism results in the suicide of white people, basically. That's what's going on. Each year, we become less and less of a people. We become more and more of a minority. I believe we're about 8% of the world's population now. That means 92% of the population, world's population, is non-white. 8% of the world's population is white. And yet we're told that we are the majority and we should be making way for these other groups within our own countries. Freedom of speech is dying on our campuses, warned campaign group Don't Divide Us, which opposes identity politics and critical race theory. And that's a good name for them, because that's what diversity is. It's division. It tells us in the New Testament that a house that is divided against itself will not stand. And the opposite of that is what the government tells us. The government repeats all the time that diversity is a strength, which causes cognitive dissonance, of course, because it's the opposite of a strength. It's division. The report comes after the University of Kent was accused by one of its own academics of imposing woke dogma when a similar compulsory diversity course told students that wearing used clothes without it being attributed to race, poverty, or bad morals was an example of white privilege. So it's white privilege to be wearing used clothes. And of course, what this tells us is that this isn't limited to this St. Andrews University in Scotland. This is also going on in the University of Kent. This is going on all over the white world. Students are being brainwashed into asking for forgiveness for their racism before they go into the university, and are being told that they have to make way for the non-whites. They have to make way for the oppressed people that they have been oppressing all their lives. When, of course, these white students are the very ones that have been most left behind, with the least amount of resources spent on them, the least amount of grants, the least help to actually get into university. Many of them come from poor families, and they're being told that they have this invisible privilege that the non-whites don't have. According to the quiz seen by The Telegraph, that's this quiz at the University of Kent, and reported earlier this week, the Expect Respect course includes a section on white privilege, and too many wrong answers will result in the student having to take the course again. So it's the same as that first one, isn't it? You better make sure you get these answers right this time. I can swear or dress in secondhand clothes without having people attribute these choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or the illiteracy of my race, said one question asked of Kent students. Staff were also reportedly told to add trigger warnings to exam materials, decolonize reading lists, and carry out pronoun checks on their new students. What do they mean by decolonize reading lists? They mean when they look at a reading list and all the people on there that wrote the books are white people, they have to replace a load of them with black and minority ethnic authors, which is, of course, very difficult when you go back further than 100 years or so, because there weren't any black or minority ethnic authors. There certainly weren't any in the classical world, if you're talking about Greek and Latin. So it means you just can't study Greek or Latin, doesn't it, really? You cannot decolonize things when you're talking about the white world and the black world. They were two different worlds. It's a lie to pretend that we always had multiculturalism and we always had non-whites in our societies, and the reason that we don't hear about them in history is because we were oppressing them. They lived in their own societies. They had their own separate societies. And why we should be expected to be doing things for people in another society over the other side of the world instead of working to improve our own society, I don't know. Kent professors such as Ellie Lee and Frank Faridi spoke out against the tests and the woke orders from their university authorities, with sociologist Professor Faridi saying, "There is a danger of promoting conformism on campuses under the guise of education that you indoctrinate people into woke dogma." And this is good. We've got these professors that are standing up and they're saying, this is wrong. And we need more of this. We need more people to stand up and speak out, particularly professors on these campuses, because it is just, it's harming the education of these people more than anything else. And it is self-harm in itself. I doubt whether they're going to point out that that's actually what this is, and that it is maladaptive behaviour for white people to be going along with this. But they are going to point out that it goes against free speech and that it is indoctrination. The Times also quoted Professor Faridi on Friday as saying that university induction training is a very powerful and persuasive force. If you don't sign up to it, you are marginalised. It is a corrosive form of indoctrination. Former Universities Minister Chris Skidmore called such induction programmes with similar courses noted by the Times at other universities, including Bath and Southampton, an abuse of authority, when students should be receiving support for their transition from school, not moralising. Well, why doesn't he do something about it then? This has all happened under the Conservative government. All of this brainwashing, all this anti-white brainwashing in the universities has come about from the promotion of diversity by the Conservative and Labour government, the Parliament, and yet we have these MPs that every so often pop up and say, well, this isn't good enough. Why is this going on? Well, it's going on because you let it go on. They are the ones that are responsible for this. It's the government that is essentially responsible for this. They're the ones that say that we should be promoting this everywhere. So they shouldn't be surprised when that's what's going on in the universities. And the only way we're going to change it is by people speaking about it and speaking up against it. So if Chris Skidmore wants this to be changed, then he needs to start advocating for more free speech in the country so that people like ourselves here at Radio Albion, who do speak up about it, don't then get accused of breaking the speech laws or breaking the Public Order Act. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.